9. Psalm 9. Every once in a while, the Lord seems to show you something that he'd be smarter than you. And his understanding is infinite. And in Hebrews, it says that we are to know about strange doctrines, but not to be occupied with them. But we are to know some. So we are going to kind of meander in some brain-frying information this morning. So Psalm 9. About 2 months ago, a preacher friend of mine sent me an 8-hour video, and he said, why don't you take a look at this? And I'm thinking, 8 hours? So I kind of left it there in my phone for a while, and about a month ago, I traveled to New York because Jan was out there helping Ash, and so I went out there, and I thought, oh, set the cell phone right there, and 10-hour drive, I got the thing covered. And when I got there, my brain was fried. And I called my preacher friend right after that. I said, thank you so much for sending me that video. Man, it kind of fried my brain. And I said, oh, man, how'd you choose to send that to me? He said, I figured you'd be the only one to handle it. And then I asked him, I said, where's your brother in on this? He said, he won't talk to me. And so that's how it goes. Psalm 9. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this. And I do ask that you'd also help us with this knowledge to first not forget you, but second to be in awe of thy judgment. And we thank you for your great power. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 9, verse 11. That's kind of a famous number, 9-11. You got to look at Genesis 9:11 and Jeremiah 9:11 and Revelation 9:11. It's kind of interesting. So he says this, sing praises to the Lord which dwell in Zion, declare among the people his doings. Okay, so he's encouraging you and I to sing praises to God about the doings of God. But when we read a little further, this is not about the constructive doings of God. This is about his destructive doings. So he says, and this is when he does it, when he maketh inquisition for blood. Inquisition is a prolonged investigation, because when somebody's blood has been shed, that blood will cry out from the ground. And when God investigates who is the one perpetrating that, then he is going to bring judgment. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. They're crying because their blood is being shed. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation, the salvation of a nation in particular. We can see it strongly with Zion, so it's going to have something to do with Israel. And then he says that the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And then there's the only time that word's found in the Bible, hygion. In a music, that would be a long rest. But he wants us to meditate on this. And then there's the word selah, which brings it into a second coming passage. So this is going to be a repeat of history. So he wants us to meditate on this. 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. All nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. You run that back up to verse 12. Arise, O Lord. So this is when the Lord rises up to bring judgment. In this context, the second coming, but it's happened in the past. Let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. So when we see this judgment, and we have evidence everywhere we go, that God has demonstrated his judgment. He says, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Selah. Okay, so like I said, this is going to be a very unusual topic. So the idea is basically my goal here this morning is that we can go out in the mountains. Well, here, that's a viaduct. But we can go out in a country and see the creation and hopefully admire the Creator. We don't worship the creation above the Creator or apart from that. We admire the Creator from his creation. But now with this, I want to encourage you that when you go into a city, you can also admire the God who judged, and his evidence is right in front of us. When we see the evidence, and I'm going to kind of give you some of that evidence this morning. And this evidence, I think, is available and left in place so that you and I remember a holy God, so we don't forget God. Remember in Deuteronomy 8, when he told Israel, you're going to go into this land. Now, remember the Canaanites had built these massive cities and buildings and had vineyards, and the Lord left them there so they didn't get overgrown, and Israel just came in. Wouldn't that be fun to go into a place where, I'll take that house. I'll take that one. I'll take this one. That's what Israel experienced. And in Deuteronomy 8, he said, when you get this prosperity, three times he says, don't forget me. Three times he said, and then here, this psalm, the people that the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Why do they forget God? It's because of peace and prosperity. Wealth is often something that causes people to forget God. And after the forgetting of God, the byproduct of that forgetting of God eventually leads into violence to maintain that prosperity. In Proverbs, it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. So we could transfer that to Lucifer. The blessing of Lucifer maketh rich, but he adds sorrow to it. There's strings attached to his. And so that's where this is leading as far as this goes. Now, the idea of this, one is I want to encourage you to question everything man says and writes. Historians question everything. Question everything that we see or hear, heard, and things that we read. Question everything. And I would dare say that if we question everything, then we can prevent a lot of deception. And another thing is that hopefully this will aid one to see the magnificence of God within the city environment. Because in cities, if you look at cities from up in the air, it looks like a computer board. And they're often laid out in a fashion to draw spirits. DC is a perfect example of that. Why is that? Okay, the psalmist is encouraging you and I to meditate on the judgment of God upon nations. And this is going to be repeated. The real special effects is going to be at the second coming. But this has happened throughout time, where the devil gets in charge of kingdoms, and then he builds his kingdom and this kingdom. Now, when we see the devil, we often think, what do? When we think the devil, when we think of the beast in Revelation 13, we think of that statue now that's set in front of the United Nations. You know, a leopard, a bear, a lion. And we think of evil, the horns. But you know, the devil's kingdoms is full of prosperity. It's full of prosperity. And when I watched this 8-hour video, what I did, sadly, people that have read through this and have discovered these things believe that this past is a utopia. But what I noticed is this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. And so I went to the Bible. And I went to probably the strangest book in the Bible, Ezekiel. And I read Ezekiel 26 to 32. And there are seven chapters in a row describing different kingdoms that Satan had in charge. And I compared that to the history that I was looking at, and I'm thinking, oh boy, is this thing amazing. And so it's an amazing thing. This is the Lord has done certain resets throughout history. Okay, where the devil gets the thing going, he's got prosperity going. And then it gets to a point where you always got to give him worship in the prosperity, where they set up little statues to worship the devil. But then something that's been hid from these people is made out into the public. What will the public do with this dark deeds in order to maintain that wealth? If the public accepts this human trafficking and human sacrifice, then the iniquity goes to a level where God says, enough's enough. Okay, and so there have been several resets throughout history. Resets of world kingdoms throughout the ages. Now, a reset button on an electrical device is designed to prevent overheating. A reset means things are set back again to zero. Now we know that, remember in Matthew 4, where Satan offered the world kingdoms to Jesus Christ if he did what? If he worshiped him, he's going to get world kingdoms. Now, did Satan have the power to do that? Well, yes, he has. Okay, and so this tells us whoever usually gets in charge of international influence has secretly had a deal with the devil. And the devil put him in that position. Now, the first person in the Bible to build a city was Cain. Now, he's a pretty good guy, right? He's the first one to knock his brother's brains out. He left and he built a city. The first man that built a kingdom and a city was Nimrod. Nimrod was the leader of the Tower of Babel. And they had such advanced technology, they built a city and a tower that may reach up to heaven. Now, I dare say they were much far more advanced than we are right now. Why? Because of a reset. Okay, and so, is that serious? Are they talking about having a tower reach up to heaven? Well, it depends if you know where heaven's at and how far it is. And so that's a fascinating thing, what's going on there. Now, in Isaiah 5, verse 8, Isaiah, who is writing about one of the resets, he says in 5, verse 8, he said, this is it's a judgment on cities in itself. And I'll read exactly what he says. He says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." So this is clearly an idea of house to house as far as judgment in cities go. And why is he warning about that? Is because of the natural tendency of people to forget God. That's the idea there. So Cain built the first city. Nimrod had a city with a tower. That tower is able to reach to heaven. And then in Genesis 15, the Lord said something about the Amorites. He said, "The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." And so what does the Lord do for nations, for a people? There's some sort of criteria. And so now what is the color of sin as recorded in Scripture? "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." So what covers our sin is something else that's red, the blood of Jesus Christ. So as the iniquity of a nation exceeds, it liquefies, is placed in this vial or this bowl. And when it gets to the tippy top, the Lord picks that up and pours it out on that nation. That's called the wrath of God. This is what Jesus prayed about on the Garden of Gethsemane, about God's wrath being poured out on him at Calvary. He took all of man's sins there. Okay, so here's some of the resets throughout history. If you would try Jeremiah 4. The first one you have in the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then the next verse says, "And the earth was without void." Something happened. Something happened. Some might call it a gap. Some might mockingly call it a gap theory. I would say it's a fact. And what proves it to be true is, we understand when he told Noah to replenish the earth, there's a reset. He said to Noah, replenish. That makes perfect sense. Why? He flooded everything. But why did he say that to Adam? He said the same thing to Adam in Genesis 1:28. Something was here before Adam. Now, in Genesis 1, verse 2, it says, the earth is without form and void. And we have an identical verse or parallel idea in Jeremiah 4, verse 22 and 23. 22 describes what environment, what society is like when God hits this reset. In this case, he says, my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. When the hills move, that's called an earthquake. So the Lord will change the landscape. I would dare say the landscape of the earth is totally different than it was in the Garden of Eden. Totally different. And so he says, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of heaven were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. He's going to leave some evidence. Now, I would dare say possibly this Genesis 1 verse 2, we could call this Atlantis. Historians often talk about the lost city of Atlantis. And this is where the Atlantic Ocean gets its name, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Atlas gets the name from this Atlantis. And if you just read this information, you don't have to believe in Atlantis or not, but when you read the information, the devil tells on himself. And here's what one thing they said about Atlantis. It was known for the practice of a bull cult, as in papal bull, as in sacred cows. And also it was associated with a serpent. Now, boy, I can kind of figure that out when I go to the Bible. And then Ezekiel mentions that God was going to bring a judgment on a city where he said, I'm going to push it into the water. And there's been people that have found entire statues and things under the water at the bottom of the sea or the ocean. And what was that? That's God's judgment. So Genesis 1, we have a reset. And then he said to Adam, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Now the word replenish is found 7 times in the Bible. 6 of them are kingdoms of Satan that are being replenished. One is the replenishment of a person's soul in the millennium. The second reset is Genesis 6. This is a no-brainer. With the flood of Noah's day. Why did God do this? Because the earth was filled with violence. Why was it filled with violence? It's because they forgot God. Now they became very prosperous. They became very wealthy. They had advanced technology, amazing technology during those days. Okay, and so what the Lord do is he flooded it out. Now after that reset, then he had little minor resets. After the second flood reset, he said, okay, I don't think I'm going to do that again worldwide. So I'm going to promise you, and I'm going to give you the rainbow as a promise. But yet there was a problem that arose pretty quickly after the flood in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, let's try fire this time. And so he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now he left the remnants there of Gomorrah in ashes. And you can go there. Nobody goes there, but you can go there. I went there and I can see the ashes. And when I saw the ashes and then I picked up some sulfur, you know what it made me think about? It made me think about God's judgment. It brought God to my mind. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it mentions that God left Gomorrah there in verse 6 for an ensample. He left that to remind us of God's judgment. Now, has he done that again? He's done that on many occasions. The Lord often changes the landscape of the world through certain judgments. Sometimes he'll use earthquakes and hurricanes or tornadoes or droughts. Sometimes a massive earthquake. America had a massive earthquake in 1811 and 1812, which changed the entire landscape of the middle part. It's called the New Madrid Fault. It could go again, as the Lord wishes. It's kind of interesting. Earthquakes happen so often in California, isn't it? Out in that direction. Okay, and that changed. Some say it even made the river flow backwards for a while. And I would dare say that was probably the last major reset in this country. But there was, I dare say there were others before that. If you would go to Isaiah 23, there's a city in the Bible that's very strange. I think it's associated with Tyrus in Isaiah 23. Isaiah writes about it. And the city is called Tyre. Now, they spell it T-Y-R-E. That's how the Aussies spell the word Tyre. We say T-I-R-E. So you go to the tire shop in Australia, it's T-Y-R-E. But it's also called Tarshish. It's also called Tyrus. And a little bit later, I would dare say we could call it Tartaria. Now, children in school in Puerto Rico were taught about the empire of Tartaria, but we were not taught about that in America. The ancient history of Tartaria, a worldwide empire of Tartaria in Asia, North America, Central America, South America, Australia, worldwide empire that had Greco-Roman architecture, fascinating buildings, fascinating technology. And I would dare say that, you know, you try to figure some of these things out, that Shem and Ham and Japheth took some of that technology they saw before the flood and pulled it after the flood and started using this amazing technology. Over a month ago, when I watched this documentary, and you read about this Tartaria, people that write about it usually will say it's a utopia. Some will even say it was the millennium Jesus ruled. And I'm like, boy, you are really stepping out there on that one. But what I've done is I've looked at it, and then I went to the scriptures, and I started connecting some dots that said Tartaria wasn't what these people think it was. It's a great deception. Isaiah 23, we'll read through a few verses here where he says, the burden of Tyre. So this is a judgment on this place called Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, which is along the seacoast, for it is laid waste. So then that there is no house nor entering in from the land of Chittim, it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. There's another time that's found. And by great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river is her revenue. So this Tyre is very prosperous. And she is a mart of nations. Now, the King James is so out of date, nobody even sees that word anymore. Mart of nations. It's a marketplace. You know, the King James is out of date. Nobody goes to Walmart or Kmart or, you know, Smoke Mart or Gas Mart or anything like that. And we might be surprised what Walmart's doing behind the scenes, maybe secretly. But this kingdom of Satan had merchandise and they were pushing it around the world, making people's lives at ease and convenient and comfortable. But then there would come a time where something would come out that they'd have to make something public known, and that's where the test would step in. If you drop down to verse 7, it says, is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? That's the only time that's found in the Bible, antiquity. That's ancient buildings that have been left around, uninhabited. People have been killed because of judgment. Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? Okay, now we've stepped into a dark world of these kingdoms that Satan will promise the wealth and prosperity, but here comes the string. There's got to be times of sacrifice to satisfy me. And that's where the trafficking comes in play. Human trafficking. This is where Psalms 9 talked about the inquisition of blood because of the trafficking. When this is made public, now that society has a choice. Do we want the wealth for this minor issue here that's going to satisfy the one that provides the wealth, or are we going to rebel against that and stay with God? When they choose as a society to keep the trafficking, then the Lord starts stepping in. Reset time. Who's involved with this? The honorable. Isn't that what they call senators and judges and congressmen? Your honor? He says, the Lord of hosts hath purposed to stain the pride of all glory and bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. You know, if they charge me with contempt of Congress, I'll say, I'm guilty. Yeah, sure thing. I contemn Congress. No problem there. Okay? But a further study of this might reveal some things. Now, on the back table, I put an article, a news article of 1858. Okay, what happened to Israel when Israel had the Canaanites? They just come in and inherited cities. Built by what? Giants, large beings. They had advanced technology where they can use electromagnetism and pick up large rocks and put them precisely and have precise cuts in stone. Fascinating information. Does anybody remember a fellow down in Florida? Coral Springs, I think it was. Coral Castle. Well, this guy had all these huge rocks, and he would never let anybody see how he would put them on there using electromagnetism. But in 1858, this is an article. It's called Raftsman Journal. This is the copy of their article, but you can see it's such fine print, can't read that. But fortunately, somebody took a magnifying class and put it in a readable print. This is 1858. I'll read a portion of it. Strange as it may appear, America abounds in antiquities, so extensive, so beautiful, and majestic, as to rival those of Thebes and Nineveh, ruins of ancient cities of immense extent, fortification, mounds and pyramids, temples with walls built of hewn stone, showing a refined taste in architect, and adorned with human figures, beautifully executed, large altars ornamented with hieroglyphics, probably giving a record of those who reared them, but which no man has been able to decipher. Remains of ancient palaces with beautiful specimens of sculpture and painting, with many other marks of ancient greatness, prove to us that this is not a new world, but that a powerful empire existed at a very remote period of time, teeming with a population highly skilled in arts and state of civilization, far beyond anything we have been led to conceive of the Aborigines, previous to the discovery of the continents by the Europeans. Immense forests grow over the ruins of large cities, and the gigantic size of trees, with indications that other generations of trees sprung up and grew before them, proves that the ruins were in existence before the Christian era. Ruins of majestic cities and magnificent temples and altars, with beautiful works of sculpture, palaces adorned with paintings, colors chiefly sky blue and light green, which show by their richness and elegance to be the work of highly civilized people. These ruins are majestic and beautiful in appearance, but overgrown with thick forests. This empire teemed with an immense population of people skilled in the mechanical arts and advanced in civilization. And I'm trying to get a larger map. These are smaller maps, but I think this one here is like 1500. So this would be before the pilgrims. And here is Shiklagla. Right where Chicago is, it's only one letter, Chilago. That's what it is, Chilago instead of Chicago. Right here, and down here is Florida, and over here is California. Before the Europeans came over here, is some things that's all around us. And I would dare say, the Lord has left a record for us to examine some of these things. These amazing structures being built without electricity, power tools, and heavy equipment. In Isaiah 23, he talks about that. If you go to Ezekiel 26 to 32, I mean, you just run through there, you're going to find merchandise and riches are mentioned. We're going to find castles, towers, star forts. Star forts is what the Statue of Liberty is sitting on top of, a star fort. And we're going to find red brick. And if this is all this story is true, you're going to find these elaborate buildings with huge domes, copper on top of the domes, antennas going up, where they could harvest electricity from the ether. And they would pull that down into the building, and that it would go into the red bricks, which is iron, and that would be like a massive battery. And these people had free energy, prosperity everywhere. And they used the water, and they had amazing canals. They used the water as a conduit for the electricity to go around, and star forts all over the place. And we find a lot of these things, if you read through Ezekiel 26 to 32, and I just took notes as I'm reading through, towers here, castles here, architect of pagan deities. Now, the people who have studied this, here's one, the one world of the Tartarians. This author hasn't read much Bible. This author thinks that this was a utopia. Ignored all the sculptures, ignored all the goddesses, ignored all of that. We go to the Bible, we can see exactly what's happening. The devil is deceiving all of them through wealth and prosperity. Before the flood, it says they were buying and selling and getting gain. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It appears that this advanced technology was continued after the flood. But when these people, iniquity abounded, God came in and hit them hard. When he had hit them with an earthquake can cause what's called liquefaction, and it turns dirt into mud, and then the mud slides in. And the mud slides in, and it could either destroy the people, you know, just overtake them, or the Lord could just take the people out beforehand through petrification. Or he can use a direct energy weapon, which was used at 9/11. And if you analyze 9/11 very closely and watch that very closely, you'll see that that steel, those desks, those windows, those people turned to dust, and that thing just came down, just like that. And there were 13 or 14 people on the first floor that day. And when the dust settled, they looked around and said, where did the building go? If that was controlled demolition, there should be about 20 stories of debris, but it just went away. And do you think if man's got that figured out, don't you know God's got that figured out? How do you think he took the walls of Jericho down? The Lord just turned up the vibration. Boom, walls come down, Israelites just march right on in, just like that. I mean, if man's got to figure it out, don't you know God's got to figure it out? And so when God has a reset, it could be an earthquake, it could be a massive earthquake, and then this mud comes in, and amazingly, these amazing structures that you find, they built them like 8 feet below the dirt, sometimes 8 feet, sometimes 10 feet in Salt Lake City. They were doing a building there in the Salt Lake City area, and a fellow was watching doing the construction. They had all the excavators, and they dug down 4 stories. And he was trying to take pictures, and he said, no pictures here, pal, no pictures here. Why? Because something just came in. And when the Mormons got out there, whoa, look at all these buildings. People say they built them. They didn't build those buildings. Not at all. You see, the method Lucifer does is he first does concealment. He conceals his intentions, offers a great peace and wealth and prosperity through a lot of merchandise. And you'll find that in Ezekiel 27:28. And the prosperity causes people to forget God. And when they forget God, then he brings in his intentions, what he expects them to do. And he's been doing it secretly for a long time, but then he brings it in. What will these people do? If they accept it, their iniquity has come to the full. God hits a reset. Now, in our country, I would dare say this advanced civilization was here. Then here comes the Europeans, and they come across this forest and they see all these big buildings. What is this? And they were repurposed to do other things. Some of it was hid, so the devil was trying to conceal. Then he'll get a conspiracy going, then he's going to counterfeit some things, and then he's going to have a cover-up. When you read American history, you go back, and some of you remember the world fairs. Chicago World Fair, St. Louis World Fair, San Francisco World Fair. And does anybody remember there was an exhibit at these fairs where they had orphans, incubators, thousands of orphans? Where did these kids come from? It's because if you do destroy the population, you got to bring in new people in. And here come these orphans on these trains coming through, coming out west, and they're stopping a place. Would you take this orphan? Would you take this orphan? And the devil's trying to repopulate this, and they're just getting these children at that time. And then mysteriously, after each of the world fairs was a fire. You remember the Chicago fire, the San Francisco fire, the St. Louis fire. Why, the devil's got to cover up that God kicked him in the hind end. You've got to cover that up. You've got to hide that technology. He's got to hide that prosperity that people can get until the time's right. And when the Lord lets them do it, he lets them do it. So now when we go out in the country, we can admire a creator by the creation, but now you can go into a city and start looking at the buildings. We don't have to go far. Go up to Crown Point. Look at the courthouse. Why did they build that thing 8 feet below the ground? They claim that they built that building for 2,000 people in Crown Point in 2 years. Electricity didn't come in until 10 years later. They built that courthouse without electricity and power tools. Somebody built that courthouse without electricity and power tools. And there it is. And when you go on the first floor, you've got the Masonic black and white checkerboard. And when you look at the doors, they're 10 feet tall. Why do they need 10 feet tall doors with a 2-foot window on top? Did they have some big dudes running it before that time? I would dare say there's a possibility, unless that's used for intimidation. I mean, it's a fascinating thing. If you go down to Rensselaer, you can look at our courthouse. It's buried about 12 feet below the ground. I mean, you have to build steps to go up to the second floor. And there's the first floor. And then there's a dungeon down there. And that's where they keep all the law books, because I would go down there and then I would notice all the electrical, violations. And nobody in town is going to show all the electrical violations down at the bottom. Why, when they built that, there was no electricity? They claim they built that one in Rensselaer in two years. And then if you go south of Rensselaer, there's a place where they used to teach Indians to bring them into society. And you ought to look at this massive building. And they only taught 60 Indian kids. You built this massive building for 60 Indian kids? Are you kidding me? And if you look at that amazing structure at St. Joe College, or you can run over to Beaverville, Illinois, and look at that amazing, huge dome structure. And they've got red brick in there to store the electricity and the energy. I mean, this is everywhere. The guy that supposedly was the architect for the Lake County Courthouse was the architect for Iowa Courthouse and Illinois. I mean, this guy was amazing. He did all this architect. He didn't even have time to do all this stuff. When you read this information, you can't believe a word they're saying. You can take the numbers. Rensselaer, they must have had a crime wave when they built that courthouse, because there's no more than 2,000 people and they built this huge courthouse. What are they building that for? It's an amazing thing. It's sitting right in front of us, my friend. I would dare say these structures have been around for years. And what man has done is just repurposed them. You ought to look in Australia at the insane asylums. In Australia, it's not just a squared rope block building. It's an elaborate building. Why would they put that for an insane asylum? It's all over Australia, something like that. The Lord has left some of this evidence for you and I to see. And when we see this evidence, look at that. Don't believe a word man says. You can read what man says and then analyze it. And then you kind of say, boy, Lord, what did you do here? Lord, I think we don't need to forget you. We can not only remember God out in the country, we can remember God in the city. Now, you know, when I used to visit the bus route in Chicago, I'd see these apartment buildings, these stone apartment buildings, and I'd go down to the first, and at that time I thought, why do they put windows down in the ground? Yeah, we have basements. You put a window at the top of the basement, but these are windows and doors that went down into the ground. That's fascinating. Mud flood, God's judgment. It's everywhere. And the Lord's setting up to do it again, because the devil's starting to let some of this information, some of this power of electromagnetism being demonstrated to us. And that was a little toy I just recently got, you know. And it's showing the power of electromagnetism. There's no wires connected to that light bulb. And we'll sit there and hover. If I got it perfectly level, if it's not level, we'll wobble. And this is the power of God Almighty. It's just fascinating. And it's been all around us if we just open our eyes. If we just open our eyes. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see your tremendous power. Help us to see how the devil tries to cover these things up. And you in your mercy has shown us some of these things. And I pray that you'd help us, if we want, to do a little more study in this and start to investigate. But yet, in our investigation, help us remember never to forget our God. Help us to study creation in mind of admiring the Creator. Help us to look at the evidence that's around us about your judgments and to remind us of your great power. We thank you for that. We thank you for leaving the evidence. And we thank you for showing us some of these things. We might begin to look at it more and to admire and to love you more. Looking forward to the day for the last show, for the big one. For the big special effects that's going to take place at the end of the trip. Lord, looking forward to that. And the biggest show on earth, that millennial time period. Looking forward to that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.